Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's 1-4.
1-4. 1-2-4. We are on an... No, it's a geometric sequence.
Oh.
A factor of 2, right? 1-2-4.
Oh, yeah.
Then 8. It was the geometric sequence that the England team followed for a spell. Do you remember that?
I don't, but I'm amazed to hear it.
Yeah, well, what was the match before Germany?
Were they
Croatia? They scored 1-0, 1-1-0, and then Germany 2-0, and then Ukraine 4-0.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah.
So if they follow the geometric sequence, they would have beat Denmark 8-0.
I see. Okay. So
which didn't quite happen.
They're not the first geometric sequence team.
Yeah, I wonder, that'd be an interesting statistic. And by interesting, I mean pointless. But yeah. what was the last tournament performance that achieved a geometric sequence in its scoring?
Yeah, it's also a piece of information that straddles a very uneasy and thin line of people who love football and people who love mathematics.
Yes. Yes.
Which there are some.
Is it also the 2's exponential sequence, right? 1 to the power of... Yeah, it is. So, yeah, it's binomial. Oh, no, it's not binomial. What am I trying? Binary. 2 to the power of 0, 2 to the power of 1, 2 to the power of 2.
Oh,
1, 2, 4.
There you go.
But look, we've already dedicated one episode of this podcast to... binary arithmetic and
a different one to football, so that's fair and balanced by anyone's rules.
Yeah, I think we have appealed. Yeah, talking about binary football, I think we are appealing to every possible demographic.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. All
in
possible
one fell
worlds.
Swoop.
Yes.
Are you still sick from football fever, Pierre? You're patient zero to me of. Of football fever, Euros football fever. I want to study you and see how the interest abates over time.
Oh, I'm already like in complete remission.
Right, yeah. Have you, as has been observed with many new football devotees, moved on, followed the conversation onto the race debate in the UK?
I followed it.
Uh-huh.
I haven't joined it. I've followed it.
No, never join.
No,
never join.
Never join. Never join in.
Yeah.
It's time to listen. That's what people say, isn't it?
The culture wars are a casino, and the house always wins. The best strategy is not to play. That's my philosophy now.
Yeah, fundamentally, as long as people have a basic level of faith that you aren't a racist and you don't approve of racism, then you've already got what you want out of engaging in the debate if you're not directly involved.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I've seen so many well-meaning but poorly thought-out attempts by especially sort of like artsy white folk to try and engage and end up making themselves look absolutely or terrible.
Yeah.
They engage in such a ham-fisted and sort of strange way that they end up seeming patronizing or, you know.
Oh, yes, I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah, and it's a real shame because you want to say to them, I mean, you know, God bless you for trying, but you, on this occasion you really... No one was worried about you.
No, no one was worried about what he thought. I think being on the right side of history, to coin a phrase, it can give a person a false sense of security with regards to the validity of their contribution to the debate. And they can find themselves falling into traps. because they're so convinced that they're right. Because they fundamentally are. You know, if you're against the racist abuse of England's players, you're right. But that doesn't mean you can't misstep somewhere and make a tangential but incorrect point.
Oh yeah, and then you'll be one of those people who's like. You'll have this nightmare where you're like looking behind you going, but I'm one of the good guys as you get kicked off the cliff or whatever on Twitter yeah. for being a bad one. But
well,
yes.
That's the key. So, you know, just because you won big at roulette doesn't mean you're not going to lose it all on craps.
This is it.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, all the proof that you need that the entire debate is kind of an insane casino is the fact that the government can just immediately change its mind about racism being bad, and then everyone just goes, well, all right, and it's just like kind of endless laser tag, just nothing sticks.
Yeah,
nothing sticks. Everyone knows what everyone else thinks, and it's all just a big sort of big chat time.
I mean, people don't give this government credit for just completely bossing these sort of battles, these online battles, the ethical battles, the culture wars.
Yeah.
This government just fucking nails it. And people, they do it so well, people don't think that they're winning.
I think...
But they can. Priti Patel can deport a million people and then and then say, don't be racist to our players. And people go, but earlier you were like... And she can just keep quiet, hold her ground, and people can do fuck all.
She just...
Because she's the Home Secretary.
She just smirks.
She's still the Home Secretary. I wonder if at one point Boris Johnson just sat down the people he cared about, didn't tell Matt Hancock the meeting was happening, but sat down Dominic Raab, Priti Patel, Rishi Sunak, and said, oh, you know what I found out? Is that if you just don't give a shit, nothing will happen. And they're like, oh, cool. And they write it down on a notepad.
But also...
And then Matt Hancock wasn't told this.
Well, no, he said to them, if you do that, I won't make you resign.
Yes, I won't make you resign. It's totally up to you if you stay in the job or not.
Yeah.
There's no pressure coming from me.
Yeah, I won't. I won't pressure. I don't give a shit. That's what he said. He said, I don't give a shit. And he jabbed his finger into each of their eyes. With each word, I don't give a shit. Like, I.
I mean, all the worst stuff about him is already out there. That's his strength. He must be the first prime minister whose blackmail are articles he wrote.
in publicly available papers.
Yeah, it's all already out there. It's genius.
But it's the same as Donald Trump. It's what they call baked in. People have already baked in these flaws when they decided to vote for him.
Yeah,
it's not new information. So some of the Dominic Cummings stuff coming out is new information, and it might have an impact. Right. But by and large, I mean, you say the government is bossing the culture war. They kind of are. I mean, they're not playing with any grace. You know, it's not like they're cunning. They're kind of enormous U-turns and going, oh, bleh, and sort of...
Yeah,
but the
that's
fact
the
remains
genius
that,
move, right? To recognize that grace has no place in the culture.
But there are just no consequences is the point.
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, whatever they do... Loads of voters don't want the opposite of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want the opposite of it, then pointing it out, it doesn't do anything. It's like sort of going, well, we'll keep pointing out that Churchill is an alcoholic. And it's like, well, A, people kind of seem to quite like the fact he's an alcoholic. And B, they don't particularly specifically want someone who doesn't drink to be prime minister. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
There's no opposite desire.
Right, so yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. So in this case, there's no great public hunger for a government that is actively, what would the term be? Sort of actively righteous.
Yeah, exactly.
In public, or actively righteous on social media or in the papers.
Yeah, and the government is doing loads of stuff that the kind of a lot of broad base of voters want, e.g., just sort of deporting people the way that you might just spray paintballs at a crowd. Just anyone that gets hit gets deported. Just that kind of random en masse And they like that. And it's to them, to a lot of people, it's just a bonus that Priti Patel is herself the child of immigrants and is, you know, a person of color and so on. That's just like, that sweetens the deal, you know, that just seals off.
Yeah.
Criticism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like in Denmark, they're getting incredibly, incredibly harsh. And one of the main government ministers is, I believe, the son of Ethiopian refugees, or was a refugee himself. I mean, that guy's even more immune than Priti Patel.
Well, this is the thing. Like, immigrant communities don't like other immigrants coming in and taking up their, like, the space they fought hard to get. Well, I don't know why people don't understand this.
We want it. That's what they're saying to all the new immigrants.
We want it.
We want it.
That's right, yeah. We want it. There's nothing. There's nothing a successful immigrant family, or like a successful immigrant family, likes to do more than pull up the ladder. Why would we want to do anything else?
Yeah.
Why would we do anything else?
This is it, yeah. Okay, so it's Matthias Tesfaye. His father was a refugee. It's something like that. But yeah, I mean even Priti Patel doesn't have that level of nominal bulletproofness.
Hmm.
Ethiopian refugee father. Yeah, there you go. I mean, he can just say and do whatever he wants. He's like, he's like a Priti Patel is very powerful, but this guy's like Super Saiyan.
Yeah, his hair's gone all blonde and golden in the shape of a flame.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And he's hovering in the air.
Yeah. It takes 11 episodes for him to deport just one person. Loads of charging up his deportation cannon. But this is the thing, is that, you know, if you don't have an answer for the fact that, like, well, he's you know, who he is, and he wants to do it, so there you go. Then we're back to arguing on the basis of the actual arguments and the values and so on, which is, we haven't done for a while, and it's, everyone's out of practice. And the government will often win because they don't seem to have any values beyond whatever gets them votes, which is why they keep winning.
Oh, the Conservative Party are the most successful political party in history, and it's because they're fucking chameleons. They'll be whatever you want them to be.
Yeah, yeah. They're like something from a sort of a holodeck.
Yeah, the fucking Terminator. They'll turn into Mercury and then take the shape of whatever thing you want them to be.
Just a low tax sign, a big low tax sign made of shimmering Mercury. Oh my God. Well, the Boris 1000 aside, Phil, we should do a correspondence special to try and re-attack our incredible pile of fantastic messages.
I should also clarify, for people confused as to why they can't hear sirens and guys going, "I'm walking over here," in the background, that I'm back from New York. I'm back and quarantining.
That's right. Land of Phil and Bud Pod.
I'm back on Terra Britannia, and it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah, sweating.
Back into civilization.
All right, let's do some correspondence.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ring rings.
Letters.
Keep jacking.
Coolest emails.
Phone
calls.
Keep jacking.
Your sister.
Keep a strict eye.
To whom they may pass.
Ring letters.
Correspondence.
Okay. We got ourselves a message from Greg.
Greg. Likes to... no, that's a sex thing, Peg.
He could like to
Greg
play.
Greg the Egg from Succession.
There
new
you
series
go.
Coming out. That's going to be good.
Ooh.
Do you watch Succession?
I need to catch up.
Boom.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm very busy.
Okay, I won't be annoying about it, but it's weird
I'm very busy pouring sweat at the moment. That's my main.
That's taking up a lot of time.
It's taking up a lot of time at the moment, yeah.
Succession. That's what you're up to right now.
I am... Yeah, I'm catching up with Succession. Hang on, let me move this. Move this microphone somewhere more.
Season 2 of Succession.
Reasonable. Anyway, so the point is, dear Greg has got in touch.
Greg the Egg from Succession.
Greg the Egg from Succession. Greetings, Phil and Pierre. Bloody Mike. What follows is some horrendously formatted signage and graffiti / tat for your viewing displeasure. Brief side note, my girlfriend isn't massively into podcasts or toilet humour, but I always save my favourite of the poo stories, to share with her. Her looks of horror and cries of, oh no, and stop, are almost as funny as the stories themselves. Praise redacted, kind regards, and Koji Greg.
Thanks, Greg. I'm glad that we can be a source of... torment for your partner.
Yes. So Greg has sent us some pictures. And this is the side of a car that's kind of been scribbled on with some sort of special drawing on your own car pen.
Oh.
Like a kind of gloop, like a kind of gloopy graffiti marker pen that can wash off.
No, okay.
And what's supposed to be written is, let's all beat COVID for the children.
Okay, yeah.
Right, so that's on there. But what has happened is that half that message is on the passenger door and half is on the kind of hatchback back bit.
What, so it curves around?
No, so...
Oh, is it a two-door?
It's a two-door.
Yep.
And so in other words, on one door it just says, let's beat the children. And because of the natural gap, it does just look like the message is, let's beat the children, all COVID for.
Let's beat the children for COVID.
Yes, exactly. Let's beat the children for COVID. Make them weak enough. The next one is a t-shirt, a sassy t-shirt that one might buy.
Mm-hmm.
And the message should say, I'm not saying I'm Wonder Woman, I'm just saying nobody has ever seen me and Wonder Woman in the same room together.
Ugh, I hate those. I hate those!
So I'm going to read this to you the way it looks, because it's arranged incredibly clumsily around a sort of half silhouette of Wonder Woman's head and logo.
Okay.
I'm just nobody Wonder Woman in the same room Wonder Woman saying I'm saying me has and ever seen together.
That sounded like a recording of your voice played backwards.
Yes. Yes. I'm just nobody Wonder Woman in the same room Wonder Woman saying I'm just has me ever and seen together.
Why don't these people have checks? Like just one check to for someone to pass it to a person who hasn't seen the t-shirt and go, can you read this? Does this make sense?
That's
all they would have taken.
Yeah, and I feel like part of growing up is realizing that you actually don't want a very long t-shirt message because
no.
No one will pick it up immediately, and you have to stand awkwardly with a kind of, look on your face while they slowly read your t-shirt. And have to, like, sort of go, oh, ha ha ha. And then say, so is that just, will that be all, sir? You know.
I forgot to say, when I was at the Met Gallery in New York, from which I've just returned, there was a guy, just a normal guy, like middle-aged, balding guy, kind of tubby, just walking around, just looking at the exhibit. Just normal guy. And okay. His t-shirt said, "I'm not a gynecologist, but I'll take a look."
Oh, wow.
But he was just walking around like he wasn't wearing that t-shirt.
And
in the Metropolitan Gallery of Art.
I was going to say, in an art gallery. Do you think it's because he was going to go see the nudes?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he's actually the... he's the... What do you call someone who...
He's the curator, yeah.
Curator. He's the erotica curator.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the front says, "I'm not a gynecologist, but I'll take a look." And the back says, "At your Rubenesques."
I love "Look at your Klimt." That's pretty good, actually.
That's pretty good. "I'm not a gynecologist.
I'm not a gynecologist, but I'll take a look at your Klimt."
Take a look at your Klimt. Also available, "I'm not a gynecologist, but I listen to Debussy."
Very good. Yes, very good.
Although Bussy is something else.
Yeah, and I don't know how you would listen to a vagina, but I mean, you can, of course.
You could hear the sea. the next and final Greg thing is quite... it's a classic. I've seen it before. It's a sign painted on two panels that are at a right angle, so like one flank of a square.
Two signs that are painted.
So it's a sign that's painted on two panels that are at 90 degrees.
To one another, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're looking...
And is the text going down one and across the other?
Yeah, they're trying to use both at once, which is the mistake. Yep. Yeah. So what it should say is, "Just do it, nothing is impossible." But it just says, "Just do nothing, it is impossible."
I wonder if that could function as like a test, you know, like a glass half full, glass half empty kind of test. And the people who see "Just do it, nothing is impossible" are optimists. But if you're a pessimist, you read...
Yeah, you read...
"It's impossible."
"It is impossible." So, thank you, Greg. Charlie gets in touch.
Charlie, Wall-E is a good Pixar film.
It's very nice. "Greetings, Bud Plugs." Very nice.
I like Bud Plugs a lot.
Can't believe it's taken this long. Bud Plugs.
Bud Plugs is great.
But when it's hot, by the way, I keep walking around saying to myself, "Bud Pod, summer in the city." That's what I've been doing this morning.
That's funny.
So Charlie gets in touch. "Greetings, Bud Plugs. I've been listening to the podcast for a while now, and I'm Stacey Dooley style obsessed."
I want a photo of Charlie holding her phone up like it's a child.
Yeah,
taking a photo with our podcast going, "Obsessed."
"My boyfriend sent me this tat he was suggested by the Facebook robots, and I knew I had to share it with you. Keep up the excellent work. Keep jilling it, Charlie." Very nice.
Ah, Jack and Jill, of course.
Jack and Jill. Jill's for the ladies.
Sorry, we've been leaving out the ladies this whole time. Keep jilling it.
Keep jilling it, yeah. I wonder if that will take off. It's been around a few years now, the idea of jilling, Jack and jilling.
Is that true?
Yeah, I heard it a few years ago for the first time and thought it was clever, but it's never seemed to achieve market penetration, if you pardon the pun.
I suppose jilling it doesn't immediately, it's not immediately apparent where it's come from.
Yes, and also I can't imagine enough scenarios where women are like, "I'm going to go masturbate." And not only are bold enough to do that, and men, but when men are like, "Sorry, what?" Going, "Oh, jilling, like jacking it. I'm going to go touch my genitals," you know, sexually. It's an awkward explanation moment, I suppose.
Yeah.
She's included some praise at the end, which I will send to you, Phil, which is very nice. Praise redacted. But so is this, this is one of those robot generated shirts.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a classic robo shirt. So it says, "Yes, I am a spoiled girlfriend, but not yours. I am the property of a freaking awesome boyfriend. He's a bit crazy and scares me sometimes."
What? This is all on one shirt.
Chilling. Yeah, it goes on. "He's a bit crazy and scares me sometimes, but he is a perfect mixture of sweetheart and warrior." That's in a little box. I love him, and he is my whole world. Mess with me, the beast.
No, yeah, it's still going.
"Mess with me, the beast in him will awake, and they'll never find your body." In tiny letters and brackets, "Yes, he bought me this shirt."
Jesus Christ! One of these. Yes, he one. It's a "yes, he bought me this shirt" shirt.
Yes.
I hate "yes, he bought me this shirt" shirts. I hate them. I hate these shirts. I can't believe they've managed to fix this. Only a robot could find space for that much text on one shirt.
It's just a block of text, and like, in order to vary it up, there's an insane combination of fonts and squares. And Phil, do you think
he scares me sometimes? What was that about?
He's a bit crazy and scares me sometimes. It's just like a one enormous red flag, the shirt.
Although, I mean, there are these couples out there who like to think they're Harley Quinn and the Joker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I remember when someone sent us that bedspread where it was like a sexy blonde boob lady being driven on a motorbike by a skeleton. And it's like skeleton boyfriend, and that's the dream boyfriend, is angry skeleton boyfriend. Toxic skeleton boyfriend. Phil, do you think you're the perfect mix of sweetheart and warrior?
I'm a sweetheart. I could probably do with more warrior sometimes, I feel.
Okay.
So I'm not the perfect mixture, no. I think I need a little bit more warrior.
I love to sit down on a Sunday evening, I put on ITV2, and I watch Sweetheart and Warrior solve murders.
Yeah, it's a classic odd couple.
In a little a sweetheart and a warrior. They complement each other, you know?
What does the sweetheart do?
He charms them.
What does the sweetheart bring to the table?
He's the good cop. People. He's the good cop.
Of course, he's a classic good cop.
It's classic. I think wearing one of these shirts, whether you're a man or a woman, should count as, like, you know, in bars where they go, if you feel uncomfortable, just say to the barman, "I want to talk to Clive" or whatever, and then they like call your cab or call the cops or...
Yeah.
If you wear one of these hoodies, like, he's a bit crazy, it scares me sometimes, but he's a beast and a warrior, and he'll kill you. You should just call the police.
I've always wondered about that, like, if you need help, ask for Clive. It's like, what if there is a Clive? If they hire a Clive at the bar, do they have to change the sign?
Yeah.
Or do they have to... Does Clive not get the job?
Or do you have to pick a niche enough name? But then the trouble is that it's too obvious if someone goes to the bar and says, "Can I speak to Cornelius?" Then the horrible person.
Well, depends where the pub is. I mean, if it's in Highbury and Islington, you know, that's quite believable, right?
Yeah, if it's in Hackney Wick, there could be a Cornelius.
There could be Hackney, yeah. Yeah.
yes. Yeah, those shirts are chilling. The robots are not quite that smart yet.
Yeah, thank God. We've got a few years yet.
Some more interesting stuff from David. Is it David?
David. Hey, Vid.
Hey, Vid. The subject line is quite good. The old 1-2, colon, tat and praise.
Tat and praise.
The old 1-2. I like that. David says, "Dear Chunks Splashity and the Brown Pants Kid."
Okay, so that's what Cassidy?
Butch Cassidy.
Cassidy.
Chunks Splashity.
Chunks Splashity.
And the Sundance Kid, the Brown Pants Kid.
Yeah, I'll take
Sundance,
it.
Sundance, Brown Pants.
Brown Pants, Sundance.
Just want to say he loves the podcast. He never really got podcast, but Bud Pod changed that. However, you thoroughly ruined the most recent season of Bake Off, and now I'm incapable of watching without thinking, this cake's a bit dildo.
What's that a reference to?
There was that sketch we did about the shitty innuendos.
Oh, I don't remember
that. We were making fun of, but you were on Extra Slice or something.
Yeah.
And it was all like people tittering at soggy bottoms and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we were saying,
oh,
people just like, oh, this icing's a bit cum. just yelling it.
Oh, gosh. That just reminded me of a sketch from the new series of I Think You Should Leave. When he's in the haunted house.
Yeah. I think that you were saying that one really, really got you, didn't it?
That one really got me. If anyone hasn't seen I Think You Should Leave on Netflix, you got to.
Yeah.
If you like this crap.
It's true.
You will love I Think You Should Leave.
That's
it's so
true.
Funny.
I think that's fair. Was it the bit where he's sort of crying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's sort of just, yeah.
Crossed.
I won't spoil it.
Wires got so crossed. Yeah. And David says some more lovely things about my 2018 Edinburgh show, and also the fact that, and this is from a while ago, but I do remember this, I sent him a video birthday message.
Ah!
Yeah, I do remember that. He says, please find attached some social media dog tat for you to burn your eyes on. And it is very cringeworthy. It was when Biden got into the White House, they released a statement from the dogs.
Yeah.
And it just says woof, 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 loads.
Ugh.
And it ends in a woof.
And it's Hair Force One. Is that a cute name for the president's dog?
Yes. Yes, nice. The Oval Porpoise. that's on the thing. That's on the statement.
No, is it?
Yeah, but it's at the Oval Porpoise, but it only works in an American accent. Parfus, arfus, parfus.
Of course, yeah.
Really gross. And there's a translation from all the woofing. Translation from canine. We love it here at the White House. All the humans are petting us and giving us nom noms.
No, that's not come. No.
Yeah.
Which account? That's come off the official President's Dog's Twitter account.
Yep. Earlier we
bring back Trump. Actually, bring back Trump.
Yeah, bring him back. All is forgiven.
I think let's bring back Trump. I think nothing Trump did was worse than that. Nothing.
Earlier we took a nap on the couch in the Oval Office, our new workplace. Our schedule for tomorrow includes an in-depth examination of the West Wing and multiple digging sessions in the Rose Garden. In order to expedite renovations to return it to its former glory.
I wonder which fucking psychopath intern got lumped with this job. Some kid who just wants to be in the seat of power in the United States and now has to run the dog's Twitter account. It's also such a stupid thing to have. There's nothing to gain from having a dog's Twitter account, and it's just one more possible platform to say something offensive on by accident.
It's also just release this if you must, but I think the funniest version of this would have just been woofs.
Yeah,
no translation, or just a single woof on it, like it printed on a really important looking
because
piece of paper. That's quite funny.
Yeah, dogs don't go woof 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 woof. That's not a sentence to dogs.
Yeah. Otherwise, can you imagine how deafening it would be to own more than one dog? If they were essentially screaming at each other.
I wonder where woof isn't the best of the animal onomatopoeias.
No, woof's pretty shit, to be honest.
I mean, sometimes dogs kind of go woof, woof. But it's not like their main noise.
No, I agree. You know what? This whole thing is a piece of shit. And I don't like it. Dave ends his email, rub your genitals until you come. Which is very nice.
Break it down. Back to basics. Postmodern.
This just
postmodern bud pod.
Just say what we mean.
Deconstruct bud pod. What if you were charged, Pierre, like blank canvas, the dog has just been discovered and the English language is in its nascent days. You are tasked with coming up with the word, the English word for the sound a dog makes.
Ooh,
from your experience of dogs, what are you writing down?
I mean, rough is better than woof, isn't it?
But you already, right, you know about rough, though.
Oh, I already know about rough.
Just from first, well, I mean, you now know about rough, right? Is it affecting your...
Yeah, maybe. I would go for like R-U-H.
Ruh.
Because they don't have lips.
Yeah.
So the idea, well, they do have lips, but not like us. The idea of a dog going woof and then being able to make an F. Can you imagine how a dog's face would have to move to even be able to do that? It'd be horrible.
If your dog went woof, you'd freak the fuck out. You'd be like, ah!
you'd think he was doing it sarcastically. Woof. Woof. Is this what you want? Woof, woof. Idiot. Like, it'd be contemptuous. Bark, bark. Yeah.
Mine would be similar to you. Mine would be row, I think. So, like, R-O-A-H, I think I'd go.
Oh, interesting. Rah. Rah. Yeah, rah. Yeah, rah. That's good.
See, I think this is better than woof.
I think that can be... Okay, so our two campaigns now are replace woof with one of those and anti-murder.
Yeah, we're the only anti-murder and reform woof campaign.
We're woof reformists.
We're woof reformists, that's right.
We take a reformer's view of woof. But we do not take a reformer's view of murder. No more.
No. There's nothing to reform except the fact that some people still get murdered.
That's right. And I say stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Relevantly to an email that we read out the other day, Howard gets in touch.
Howard, you don't get many Howards.
You don't get a lot of Howards. I quite like Howie as well. As an abbreviation.
Howie. Yeah, Howie's cool. It's a cool name, I think, Howard.
Yeah, it's sort of 50s.
It's very Happy Days. In fact, I think there is a Howie in Happy Days, is there?
Probably. Dear Butt Pluggers. So he's close to butt, but not close.
Wow. Two in one. They've all come at once. They're like buses, a butt plug reference in Bud Pod.
Yeah. He's described us as pee, yeah, and fill your pants.
Pee, all right. So urinate, yes.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm saying urination, hooray, and you'll fill your pants.
Yeah, okay, nice.
Historian and longtime listener here. Love the podcast. It really is praise redacted. And the ease with which you effortlessly switch from serious political discussions to stories about people cacking themselves is a joy to behold. Well, it's certainly the episode for that.
Yeah. One of those weeks.
He said, I wanted to write in for ages, but couldn't think of anything to talk about until the other day when I had an epiphany. So the story is more of a poo memoir, about my brother.
Okay, but not to be confused with a poo noir, which is an old American movie in which they must find out who did the poo.
Yeah, it's a really
and it's black and white,
gritty, dark poo. It's a poo noir.
Yeah, this is very influenced by poo noir.
Yeah. You know, you've got the damsel coming in, upset that someone's done a huge poo. Trying to get the detective to fall for her. So, Howard says, you see, when he was younger, around 5, my brother suffered terribly with his guts.
Oh, no.
He'd get badly bunged up for several days, sometimes lasting up to a week. And then when he finally went, he really went.
God. Okay.
Imagine, if you will, a turd several inches in diameter and the size of a brick almost.
I don't want to, but I'll have to.
A turdzilla, a small tapered log, he's saying. I recall wondering at the time how such a huge thing could come out of such a small boy. Dat, as they say, got a hurt. Now, as you can imagine, these beauties simply wouldn't flush. No siree. No amount of water was going to shift these anacondas sitting nonchalantly at the bottom of the bowl, poking defiantly out of the water. So Dad had the pleasure of breaking them up with a metal coat hanger.
God, I mean, it's not the first time we've heard on this podcast about people having to break up their feces.
Huge logs. The last woman was a medical professional, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
It was their mum.
So there's obviously no better solution if a medical professional is doing the same.
Are there people out there who just have naturally flappy bums? Flappy wide bum holes that can take this sort of terrible strain?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there are just some elastic bum holes. You know how there's some people who like can pull their cheeks really far? They have hyperelasticity, right? That's what they're called?
Yes, yeah.
Or like they can pull the neck skin out really far. It must be those people whose anuses can also do the same thing.
Yeah, and they walk among us.
Yeah. As a party trick, they could, if they wanted to, bend over and pull open their anuses like, huh? See? And people go, whoa.
Whoa.
Wow.
People gathering round, kind of looking in. Yeah. Whoa. Like, yeah. whoa. I guess, yeah, maybe you start a career as some kind of like, you could get into very extreme pornography, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Fondly remembering my brother's episodes got me wondering about what other weapon of choice podbirds might use to break up their floaters. Well, we know the terrible knife, the poo knife, mixed in with everything. The dad put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
My wife...
Knife coat hanger.
Yeah. My wife, he says, a self-confessed every 3 to 4 day pooer, is, when she finally strikes gold, partial to a wooden baking skewer.
Jesus, what is wrong with people?
Yeah.
You know what? You go through life thinking, I am the exception to a civilized, sensible world. It is I who must correct for my mistakes, and I who must look out for when I deviate from the norm.
Yeah.
And it turns out everyone else is fucking nuts.
Yeah. You spend your whole life thinking, I am the lunatic hiding in the mob.
Yeah. Nope. at all. Not even close.
Nowhere near, it turns out. But thank you, Howard. That is enlightening.
I'm starting to think maybe we should take on to Dragon's Den a dedicated poo breaker.
Yeah.
There's obviously a market for it, and people are having to improvise with household objects.
Well, I know someone who has... I know someone whose sister... They live in a basement flat, so you can't... But it's such a basement flat that the toilet kind of... It has to, like, go up, you know? It has to be like a vacuum toilet.
Oh.
And they have to... If you do that, if you have that and it just goes to, like, a tank or something, you have to have a macerator, which is turd blender.
Yeah, there's a macerator in the house I'm staying in right now.
Yeah. It's blender. Mash the log. The log that you had to pass out of your ass.
Very good.
Thank you.
Out of your ass.
So what we're pitching a kind of like that monster in the desert from Star Wars, like just little teeth in a bowl.
Yeah. What was that thing called? The Scrolax, the Gravlax, the Grolax?
Something like that. Yeah. The naughty
Grograx.
The naughty boy. The
Gralax.
Was that it?
Something like that. Something like that. Gravlax.
Very, very, very funny prank potential as well. If someone's just done a huge shit and you turn on the blender when their ass is still on the bowl, fire it upwards. All over.
Yeah, it's a strange sensation using a toilet with a macerator. Putri bullet, of course. Well done. A putri bullet.
Yeah.
A pooed processor.
No.
A food processor.
Yes, very nice.
But yeah, I just can't help thinking of the blades. I just picture the blades. When the macerator starts going, I just imagine those blades going dutifully mashing up
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Day in, day out.
For me, the thing that grosses me out weirdly is like, I'd find it almost less gross and a bit agricultural if it was just poo, but it's the fact that it's all like toilet roll being like dealt with as well as sort of somehow makes it more horrible to me. I'm not sure why that is.
Because it kind of get like tangled up, you mean?
Yeah.
Wet. The idea of it getting all tangled up.
New roll.
Yeah.
Joe gets in touch and says, "Dearest Pooperonis, praise redacted. Have listened through almost twice already." Bloody hell, Joe.
Wow.
Well done. Thank you. Okay, thank you. He says, "Gonna keep this one short and sweet. I've been going about my day of laying low due to Corona and all that. Meals I had, video games played. But as bedtime rolled around, something strange occurred to me. I had not had my daily poo, which in hindsight is why that day might have felt very off. As is our ritual, my fiancé and I listened to a Bud Pod episode right before bed, so we dreamed sweetly of hilarity and, of course, poos. We were listening to a correspondent special, and the stories were rife with tales of poo and shittery." I love that novel, Tales of Poo and Shittery.
Dickens' best, I think.
Heroic.
Underrated.
Yeah. "Please, sir, may I have a poo?" That was the big line. And then the guy goes, "A poo? A poo?" Because you weren't supposed to go to the toilet in Victorian times. Boy for sale. Pooing boy for sale. That's what he said. It rang a big bell. So, before you knew it, my lower stomach made noise with such ferocity that even my fiancé was concerned, and luckily I was able to scurry to the toilet with a good luck from them as I waddled through the door. Your soothing podcast took form of an audible laxative, and I couldn't have been more pleased. Koji, forever and always, Joe." Another example.
Not the first time. Yeah. Not the first example of our laxative effect.
And it's a chilling
Bud Pod
power.
Getting Britain moving.
Bud Lax. Lax Pod.
Laxapod.
Laxapod. That's right. That's right. I wonder if there's something about the way we record this that inherently has some sort of brown note.
Yeah. Maybe it's just suggestion, right? Maybe it's just the art of suggestion. It's like we're Darren Browning. Very Browning. We're Darren Browning, everyone.
We're Browning everyone like Darren.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we are. Bloody hell. So, we will end on a fairly long story from... What's he signed off as? Paul.
Paul. Paul the Tall.
Paul
or
the Tall.
Small.
He says, "Sorry for any spelling mistakes as I'm dyslexic. Howdy."
Howdy.
Howdy. I'm a relatively new listener. I can't say your podcast has changed my life, but it's definitely added some extra spice." Entirely fair.
To do. Yeah.
"Listening to the many stories of fellow listeners' poo-tastrophes has given me the courage to share my story. I know this ain't your first rodeo, so buckle up, cowboys."
Mm-hmm.
He's sticking with Howdy.
He's really sticking with the Wild West theme, yeah? And you gotta appreciate his consistency.
That's right. We go back to 2013. In this story, Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines was UK number one, and Brexit was still a breakfast cereal.
Oh, heady days. There were blurred lines, but not those lines between the UK and continental Europe. Those lines were clear, defined, and for the most part worked.
Yes. And he says, "Alongside thousands of other 18-year-olds across the UK, I was apprehensively sitting my A-levels."
Ah.
It was
good
time,
luck.
Yeah. It was time for my finals. My final piece of work in secondary school, the final time I would sniff the stagnant air as I walked around the hallowed corridors of my school. On the morning of the exam, I felt... this is his geography exam, he specified in the subject. Mm-hmm. On the morning of the exam, I felt a slight rumble in my stomach, but I put it down to nerves. Later, as I walked to school, the rumbling grew into a cacophony of unpleasant gargles and churning. I had no time to turn back and convinced myself it would settle down. How wrong I was. By the time I walked into the exam hall, a cramp I can only describe as a contraction had taken hold.
Contraction.
It was so bad I could hardly stand up straight.
His anus is dilating. He's crowning.
We want this poo to be all natural. Going to do it in a paddling pool.
Ah, a water poo.
A water poo. Did you know they can swim? When they come out first? That's why they had to change the Nirvana album cover. It was just a poo and a dollar bill on a hook.
Yeah.
It was too grungy.
It's too grunge. It's too grunge. They wanted to appeal to some of the mainstream.
Yeah. Yeah. Even they had their limits. Yeah. He says, I know what you're thinking. Why didn't you just go to the toilet, you fool? Well, he says, I went to an all-boys school. It was a miracle on biblical levels if you found a lav with a seat that hadn't been ripped out by a hormonal gorilla boy. No doors had locks. They had all been destroyed years before my time. Bog roll was robbed and used for mischief before it had ever even reached the dispenser.
It's mad that you start your life having to use the worst toilets you will ever encounter.
Yeah, it's a real... The level of difficulty really decreases over time.
It really, really does. They don't tell you that. They tell you about the things to be afraid of in adulthood, but they never tell you the toilets get better.
They never tell you that if you as an adult were in a normal public toilets and a bunch of other adults tried to sort of burst in and harass you while you were shitting, it would be a crime.
It's really extraordinary what children have to go through that adults don't. Yeah. It's really amazing. We didn't talk about it enough.
They can't even shit in peace. It's such a low bar. So in short, the school toilets were for weeing, normally on the floor, smoking, and the occasional fight. Yep. I got about 3 pages into the exam when the sweats began. The contractions were getting worse and more frequent. I knew it was only a matter of time before the devil's broth rampaged from my backside. I was now locked in a battle of wills with Beelzebub himself.
Very good. Bowelzebub.
Bowelzebub. Yes. I never got past the halfway point of my geography exam. How could I?
Oh, no.
My brain was fully focused on the war that was raging within me. It was like when Voldemort and Harry Potter's wands connect in the Goblet of Fire.
I don't know the reference, but I can imagine it.
The two beams kind of shoot into each other and there's light laser fight.
Oh, okay.
The screams of my long-lost ancestors willing me not to let go. I could not shame the family name by becoming the boy to do a real-life will from the in-betweeners.
Hell yeah, I remember that episode.
After what felt like a life sentence of agony somewhere in the periphery of my focus, I noticed the examiners collecting our papers. I had won the battle, but was far from winning the war. As soon as the examiner opened her mouth to dismiss us, I set off like there was a bomb under my desk. I burst through the hall doors, to the astonishment of my teacher, who was waiting outside to see how we did. The last she ever saw of me was a sweating mess running at full pelt, doubled over, holding my stomach like I'd been shot.
Wow, must have been hard. Must have been a hard exam. That's what the teacher says.
Yeah, oh, he didn't do well.
Applause.
I somehow made it to the school gates. I felt like a gazelle who's been chased out of the pack by a lion.
The school gates?
Yeah.
So he's not even trying the school toilets?
No, he's not even risking it.
Wow.
I knew I could never reach the safety of home before the eruption. It was coming and there was no escape.
Fucking hell.
I scrambled across the road narrowly, avoiding a car. I ran up a... I ran up a cut-through path that also led to a
like
church.
Like an action film.
Yeah, yeah. Just like sliding up the bonnet as it barely like... Hey, watch it! Sorry!
Just leaving a skid mark on the hood as he slides just, over it.
Just, yeah, as he slides over it like a cool cop. Just... just across the bonnet. I scrambled across the road, narrowly avoiding a car. I ran up a cut-through path that also led to a church and a house that I can only presume was the vicar's. So there's a kind of cut-through path that leads to the school. I dived behind a bush, but it only partially hid me from sight. I had only just got my trousers down before a hot stream of misery ejected itself. Oof. It was brutal. Such power and velocity, I was surprised it didn't start to hover like a Harrier jump jet.
Oh, I love a reference to the Harrier jump jet. We don't talk about the Harrier jump jet enough.
We don't, and it, you know,
triumph of British engineering.
A triumph, and they scrapped it, and it's one of the few sort of fighter planes that even the Americans used and bought from us.
Yeah, there's that episode of The Simpsons where they're like, the pride of the American Air Force, the British made Harrier jump jet.
Yeah, yes, yes, yeah, and then they just scrapped them. Fools, yeah. Probably. I'm happy to tell you that as far as I'm aware, no one witnessed what happened that day. Once it was over, I used my geography revision notes to clean myself up.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah. That's one way to celebrate. Usually people just throw it in their notes in a big fire, but I guess
Poetic. Covering
it in shit is another option.
It was the only thing I had to use at the time, and I was careful to make sure my name wasn't on any of the paper I used. As I did a walk of shame to home, a cunning plan popped into my head.
Oh, yeah.
I put a status on Facebook and Twitter that said the following. Some dirty bastard has shat all over the cut-through path across the road from school.
No way.
A false flag.
Wow.
I spent the rest of the day. Yeah.
He who shat it. He who posted it, shat it.
He who uploaded it, unloaded it.
Yeah, that's good. That'll do. We'll work with that. Yep.
I spent the rest of the day laughing to myself as fellow students commented under my post about how they came across it on the way home.
I mean, that's actually, that is smart.
He's like a serial killer.
That is smart. Hiding in plain sight.
Who would do such a thing? I replied to them with a smile on my face.
Oh my gosh, wow. Wow.
Yes, who would ever do something like that?
Well, even if he failed his geography exam, he picked up a much more useful skill.
Lying.
Skill of lying.
Lies. He says he failed at the end. P.S. So the exam, you won't be surprised to know that I failed. Oh, well, at least I got a story to horrify people with instead.
Oh, he failed. Oh, no.
And, it's a shame.
That's a shame.
Well, it's a shame, Paul, but at least you have learned how to avoid blame for things. And that's all you need to get to the point where you're actually running the country, Phil.
Yeah, these days.
All you need. I want to, at some point, because that voice is so perfect, we've got to organize. I feel like we should all just pay Adam Buxton royalties for it. It's so good, perfect. It's so perfect. It's a sort of a drive time DJ satire. Public figure, slightly charming, mostly tedious, colorful shirt. It's so good. Buckles, if you're listening, and I know you're not, I'll buy you an enormous Greek lunch in exchange for it. In exchange for our renting of it, because it's so good. I have some shit to plug.
Oh, plug away.
Dear listeners, I am doing, how many nights am I doing? 5 nights at the Camden Fringe in the first week of August. 3rd to the 7th of August at the Camden Fringe, Camden Comedy Club. Come along and see. It is not the same show that was at Soho. It will be a new and worse show. It'll still be
exciting.
Good.
Exciting.
But it'll be very new and COVID fresh.
3rd to 7th.
3rd to the 7th, Camden Fringe.
I will try to come.
Please. Please. And then I will be dipping my toe, Phil, in the what remains of the Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, interesting. You're going to Edinburgh?
Well, for the 13th to the 19th, I'll be at Monkey Barrel at, I think, 6 p.m. But yeah, Monkey Barrel in the Edinburgh. For any Edinburgh listeners, fringe people, that's Brilliant. Where I'll be. Doing a few nights of whatever it is that I do now.
Interesting. We haven't even spoken about Freedom Day.
Oh, Freedom Day. Oh, Freedom Day. It was the same as every other day for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I didn't really notice much difference.
People were still wearing masks. Most private businesses have just gone, well, we'll just put up a sign saying we want masks then. And they just have done that.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, it was just the government being able to tell backbenchers, well, we didn't ask them to. Private business can do what it wants.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So that's some...
I brought my second jab forward, which you can do, by the way, if you're youngish like me.
I did that too. When's your second one?
It was going to be like mid-August, and I brought it up to the 29th of July.
You're kidding. That's so soon.
Yeah, next Thursday, baby.
God damn it. I brought mine forward, but I could only get us the 6th of August.
Just there'll be pop-up places you can just go down.
But I got Moderna, and it's a bit niche.
Oh, it is a bit niche. It is a bit niche. Okay, yeah.
I'll just do it on the 6th. I'll just do it.
When was your first? What gap will that be?
I don't know. Quite a long gap.
I'm obsessed with people's gaps right now.
Oi, 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 oi. It'll be... Eight weeks, the minimum.
Okay. Well, according to one of the vaccination scientists that I read, that is the sweet spot.
Oh, great. Well, I mean, I also had it last year, so I'm getting tripled, if anything.
Yeah, you're going to be very immune.
I'm going to be more powerful than you people could possibly imagine. Well, get jabbed, listeners, or get your shots, if you're American.
Jab it up. Okay, everyone, keep jilling it.
Keep jilling it, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.